two, one.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, April 6, 2008, is now about 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. All right, and now on to our program. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to remind our listeners to please subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, it's been a busy day for me. I just returned from Kansas City, Missouri. I attended the Heartland Libertarian Conference. And it was very interesting. I'll be honest with you, I don't like to go to conferences. Even with my company, whenever I had conferences to go to, I would only go when it was absolutely necessary. But folks, what is really interesting is that although you take a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and things that you would prefer to do other than going to a conference, what's really interesting is that it's you're almost in a catch-22. You are with like-minded people, and you learn so much from these people. Some of these people are absolutely brilliant when it comes to the subject of the Constitution, of our liberties, and our freedom. And they give you such insight. It is so gratifying to be there among people who do not think in the same manner as Joe Sixpack. And I'm not picking on Joe Sixpack, but anyone who just repeats the mantra that they hear on television or what the government wants them to hear. The flip side to that is that it could be incredibly discouraging because things are bad. There are those who have been working with Washington, D.C. for years on issues that are critical to us, who have told me personally, and this is more than one person, that they have finally given up. In their opinion, there is no hope for us through Washington, D.C. It is now incumbent upon every individual to start thinking differently, to start realizing that government is not the answer and that our Constitution was written in a manner that restricts government in every single way imaginable and identifies. This is the most important part. It identifies the citizens as being the governors of the country. And I listened to a speech by Michael Bagnarik. Now, he ran as Libertarian president, I think, in the last campaign. He's a constitutionalist. I mean, the man gives classes on the Constitution. And I sat into one of his classes. Now, I didn't have a chance. He gave an entire 8-hour class today, and I was unable to stay there because I needed to come back. But he did give an abbreviated course on the Constitution on Saturday afternoon. It is absolutely eye-opening. In my opinion, what he told us should be told to every man, woman, and child in this country. You get goosebumps when you realize what our Constitution actually says. Now, he doesn't interpret, he doesn't extrapolate or anything like that. He takes it and he says, this is what was written. This is why it was written. This is the intent. And if you read it, that's the only intent that you could get from it. And he goes through the Bill of Rights, which he did in our class. He went through our Bill of Rights. And you leave just shaking your head. You just cannot believe we have come so far that our Constitution basically has become meaningless. That the federal government now, or I should say, those that are in government today, look down on the citizens, saying, you really don't have those rights. You have no rights at all. We will grant you privileges if we feel it's in our best interest. Now, is that not really what is happening? This class was interesting because what it did, it explained that the government has no rights, neither granted by the Constitution, nor could it ever have any rights. It could only have privileges which we, the people who have the rights, grant the government. The people are those with the rights. Inherent rights. And he explains inherent rights, that means inherent. You cannot take it out of us. These rights are inherent in us. This is inherent in every individual on the face of the earth. And he gives an example. He says, just like lead, what's inherent about lead is its weight. You cannot take the weight out of lead. It wouldn't be lead anymore. You couldn't put it in a microwave and make it fluffy. Couldn't boil it and take the lead out. It's inherent in lead. Weight and lead are synonymous. Rights and individuals are synonymous. Governments have no rights. They only are granted privileges by the populace. Phenomenal point. And our Constitution is written that way. And I'd like to read Edmund A. Opitz. No one can read our Constitution without concluding that the people who wrote it wanted their government severely limited. The words no and not employed in restraint of government power occurs 24 times in the first 7 articles of the Constitution and 22 more times in the Bill of Rights. Our schools today do not teach the Constitution. They avoid the Constitution. Our schools today teach government that government is good and we rely on government for our welfare. And welfare, using welfare in the broadest sense. We actually are trained. It's almost like being brought up in a particular religion. When you're a child, you just tend to believe that because that's what your parents and these elders in the church, who are kind of mysterious to you when you're a child, tell you this is what is true. You accept that as being a truth. Now, when you get older, it is very difficult to break from that religious belief because that's the way you've been brought up. And we carry those beliefs with us. We do the same thing with political parties. We have beliefs about our political parties, and then we can't let go of them. we have belief systems regarding our Constitution that are false. They're false just like a false religion, false gods, or false anything else. We have the impression that our Constitution was written to ensure that government has the rights to control the country for our good. All wrong. Fabulous. I'll get back to that in a second. We're going to talk about the fair tax a little bit today, I hope. I do have a few things that I wanted to bring up. I wanted to also mention again, the American Freedom Campaign was launched about 8 months ago to build a grassroots movement to help restore the Constitution and reverse the violations of civil liberties and human rights, that have occurred over the past 7 years. Go to their website, American Freedom Campaign. Let's see what their website is. I do not have their website. Help. Where is it? American Freedom Campaign. Well, if you Google AmericanFreedomCampaign.org, please go and do support that organization. Thank you. Here's another quote. Perhaps the most obvious political effect of controlled news is the advantage it gives powerful people in getting their issues on the political agenda and defining those issues in ways likely to influence their resolution. This is an author, professor at University of Washington, W. Lance Bennett. And the source is his book, The Political Illusion, 1983. The reason why I mention that particular quote, and by the way, I received that quote and the quote regarding our Constitution from the Information Clearing House. I do encourage our listeners to subscribe to the Information Clearing House. It's a free subscription. They condense all the important news, and you don't have to read it. You can click it all off, but it's categorized for you, and it's abbreviated for you, very, very nice fashion. And it has everything from the war in Iraq and Afghanistan to the Middle East to major issues, including economic issues. It's excellent. But if you do so, be fair. Do from time to time give them a small donation. They don't ask for much, but they do give us much. Do support the Information Clearinghouse financially. Because there was an article, and by Global Research in CA, I guess, is that California? I know, Canada, I'm sorry. One quarter of Americans now think Iran is the biggest consistent neocon propaganda campaign paying off. Right? Here's the problem. People now believe that Iran is a real problem for the United States. It's one of America's biggest threats. Folks, Iran is no more a threat to the United States as I am or you are. This is an attempt, in my opinion, for the government to divert our attention from the real issues. The real issues is our financial system is collapsing. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to realize that. They don't want you to think about that. So they have a diversion, and the diversion is Iran. It would not surprise me if our government attacked Iran just because they couldn't handle the issues and the problems here at home. And that would be another diversion. But of course, if we attacked Iran, it would be for reasons that, you know, we had to do it. And placing the entire country, paralyzing the entire country, because we again would be at war. Again at war. And again at war. You've got to realize that if we do want a free country, we first must understand that we are the governors. And we will grant privileges to the government. And the first thing we need to do is stop all the insanity of this empire. we have in the vicinity of 700 or more bases around the world. Over 700 military bases in over 150 of the 192 countries. Folks, I'll bet they don't teach that in history class in school. I'll bet our history classes are devoid of that type of information. I'll bet our history books today avoid all the antecedents. In other words, why was this war fought? How did we get into this war? Why did we get into this war? Those are the questions they don't want anyone to ask. They just say a war started, they were bad, we were good, we won in most cases, and then we come home, and the world is a better place. Nothing could be further from the truth. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. This is Sunday evening. We have five lines open. Our telephone number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Please call in and give me your opinion. A couple of books. I encourage everyone to get the book, The Fair Tax, The Truth, Answering the Critics by Neil Bortz and Congressman John Linder with Bob Woodall. And it's published by Harper. It is an excellent read, and what it does is instead of getting into the nitty-gritty of the tax, it's 240 pages long, and the entire fair tax code is half of that. But what it does, it answers the critics. So if you want to know what it is, and you want to know, well, geez, how would this work, and geez, how could it work in this? They answer all of those questions, and we're going to get back to that in a minute. A book that we picked up here at the convention was Libertarianism in One Lesson by David Berglund. This is an excellent book. It explains libertarianism from A to Z, and very simply. But, you know, folks, what really concerns me is that if once you are in a environment where you're listening to people talk about liberty, everything else sounds insane. The way our government works, insane. Oh, but we do have a caller. Let's see who we go. I have on the line. Good evening, caller. Your name and where you're calling from, please. Caller, you're on the air. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Thank you for calling. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Jim from Bixby, Oklahoma.
Jim from
Joe,
Bixby.
I was wondering at your conference if they talked about the Libertarian Party's strategy for nominating candidates for president and trying to get the message out and establish their presence as best they can, with the realization that it's unlikely that they would be electable. But if they talked about their campaign strategy, and I had heard about this Bob Barr that may run. Did they talk about that at all?
Yes, individually, the individuals talked about it. In fact, there were I didn't have the count, but somewhere around nine, I believe there were nine candidates who were running for president. At the convention, each gave us a little briefing of why they thought they should be selected as the Libertarian candidate. The field was very impressive, Jim, incredibly impressive. Bob Barr came in. Now, he was a congressman at one time. He's very well known in Washington, and he has plenty of name recognition. In fact, all he did is mention that he was going to start an exploratory committee to obviously explore his chances of running, or his, you know, the probability of running. And yet, I think it was in USA Today, there was a big article saying Bob Barr running for president, for a Libertarian president of the United States. And I thought that was impressive, because they got that news almost faster than we did.
Right.
What each one did is try to make the audience understand or convey to the audience how they were going to, why they should be the selected person. For example, Wayne Allen Root, tremendous amount of energy, and quite frankly, from some people's point of view, too much energy, you know, which is almost frightening in a way, but I mean, not frightening, but I guess objectionable in a way. But he talks about being a right-wing libertarian, you know, realizing that things have to get done in bits and pieces and whatever, and he has plenty of name recognition. There were others who felt that, a person who was there that I was so pleased to meet was Mike Gravel, the Democrat who ran for president on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah.
Yes, he was there, and now he's a libertarian. He gave an excellent presentation, I think he stands a very good chance of picking up the nomination. Because he already, you know, he's been in Washington, and the things that he has done in Washington have been very impressive of the things that I know of. Now, I haven't studied him very much, but I always liked the things he said. In fact, I approached him and told him that I was so pleased he was there because I really always wanted to meet him and that I gave him plenty of airtime when he was a Democrat because I liked what he had to say, and mentioned that I was during that airtime, I had mentioned that I would love to see a Gravel Ron Paul ticket. And he said, you know, I only met Ron Paul once because he went out of Congress back in 1983. It was the last time he was, as a senator. So he has been out of the fray for some time. But each one individually gave reasons why they felt that they could win. Quite frankly, I think most of them had a very, very weak argument. I mean, they talked about their presence on the web, their convictions. You know, some had a little bit of money behind them. But compared to the, you know, what they call the Billary and Obama, you know, campaign, it pales in comparison. It is going to require someone with name recognition, such as a Bob Barr or a Mike Gravel, or someone who has a tremendous amount of energy and money behind him, a Wayne Allen Root, in my opinion. There were excellent, also some excellent candidates, I thought. For example, George Phillies was there. He's a physics professor at MIT, but he's funny. And he was actually funny. He was really enjoyable to listen to. And he has a very good presence on the internet. He has a very, very active internet campaign going. So he sort of stands a chance. And he, in the straw poll they took there, he scored relatively high. Mike Gravel scored high. Wayne Root scored high. And Bob Barr. Although he was not running at the time, you know, when we had the straw poll, they had his name on the ballot, and he scored very high as well. So, but there was no national strategy thus far.
Do you know where and when the Libertarian Party convention will be held?
It's going to be held in, I think, the third week in May in Colorado, next month, in about, about 6-7 weeks from today.
Great. That's encouraging. I have one other question, and I'll take your answer off the air. Joe, you spoke of the concerns about our foreign involvement in the Middle East countries with General Petraeus speaking before Congress this week. What's your take as to, is it a charade? Is he in a position and prepare this country for war, or what are your expectations?
I must admit that I have very little, I have no opinion on that. The reason for that is that I have stopped following the intricacies of the war in Iraq. I know generally what the average Joe Blow knows as far as, but I have too much to keep up with, and the war in Iraq, as far as I'm concerned, is just one big losing proposition, and nothing surprises me anymore. So I don't know, Jim. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know what he's going to do, and whatever he does, nothing would surprise me at this point. I've written that subject off the books.
Right.
Sorry
right.
to say
well, thank
that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Jim. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, we have 5 minutes, and in this 5 minutes, I am going to talk about the fair tax. What was particularly interesting is this morning when the vice president, vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party was speaking, and then there was sort of a general discussion afterwards, but his name was Chris Bennett, very nice fellow. Someone asked him about the fair tax, and he mentioned that he was for the fair tax, and person in the audience says, well, I'm opposed to the fair tax, and I raised my hand. I said, I'd like to ask why he's opposed to it. And it was very interesting. He said, well, I was for the fair tax at one time, but I studied this. I studied the fair tax. And he says, after studying it, I realized that what probably will happen is we'll have a fair tax, in other words, a consumption tax, and we will have an income tax, so we will be double taxed. So I'm against it. And I thought to myself, I said, wait a minute, we lost some logic here. And I didn't say this to him because this is not a time for the discussion on the fair tax, because I didn't want to take time from the vice president. But think of the logic behind that, folks. And that was objection number one. Objection number two was that we still will have the 16th Amendment. And also he says, I'm afraid that people, they're just going to raise the amount of the tax anyway. Well, wait a minute. We have the 16th Amendment now, which is unconstitutional. So, big deal. But a part of the deal on the fair tax is that the 16th Amendment goes with it. I mean, it goes. We don't have the 16th Amendment anymore. No more income tax. I mean, that's part of the deal. Number two, if they're afraid that they're going to keep the income tax and then add on a sales tax, well, they can do that now. I mean, all they do is increase the income tax. I mean, we can't. That's illogical to say that this is what they might do once they have it, and they may do this, they may do worse without it. I mean, you can't sort of prove a non-existing negative in the future that doesn't make any sense. I personally have not heard, an objection to the sale, to the fair tax that has changed my mind one iota, and I'm open to it. If there is a good reason other than saying, well, let me give you another one. Oh, it probably won't go through. Wait a minute. I mean, of course, if it doesn't go through, it's for naught. I mean, if anything doesn't go through, it's for naught. But to say you're not for the fair tax because you don't think, this is another objection, because you do not think that the fair tax will be enacted, will be approved, is insane. It's illogical. It violates any rational thinking. Folks, the fair tax solves so many of our problems, but our major problems. Now, we only have about 2 more minutes on this program, or 2 minutes left on this program. And unfortunately, you know, I'm glad Jim called. Thank you, Jim, for calling. But we need to speak further on the fair tax. I want to dedicate on Thursday, and we'll be broadcasting again on Thursday morning live at 6:30 a.m., get up early and listen to the program, right? And I will be talking about the fair tax again. I just did not leave enough time, which is not unusual for me. I wind up going off on tangents, but I did come back from the Missouri Libertarian Convention. I did want to give you a briefing on that, and we got an excellent call. So I, of course, wanted to answer to that. But this coming Thursday morning, we will continue our discussion of the fair tax. I am still researching it, by the way. So I am digging in, and I'm trying to find out. I have not found yet one objection. I found many objections, but none of them are valid. I haven't found one that's valid. Okay? Well, let's do this. Let us sign off. There's our song. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Thank you, Marie. You interrupted me. Right. And remember what Tom Clancy said on Kudlow and Kramer back in September 2nd in 2003. What the government is good at is collecting taxes, taking away your freedoms, and killing people. It's not good at much else. And remember, folks, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, that'll be Thursday morning at 6:30. Stay well. Stay tuned.